Well, g'day everyone and welcome to The Journey this week. My name's Jude Hennessy. This is a show that's all about faith, hope, love and life. Going out via a heap of radio stations right around the country. Also going out as a podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud and various other forms. We don't mind how you're listening in. We're just so glad that you are. And I'm under strict instructions today because we've got such a full show to get to it pretty quickly. And I'm going to do just that right now. You're going to be hearing from some awesome people this week. First of all, we've got Father Greg Jacobs. He's going to be speaking to us about Social Justice Sunday. It's in two parts towards the end of the show. You know, love what he's got to say. And the focus very much on this Social Justice Sunday in Australia is about being signs of hope in this Jubilee Year of Hope, serving homeless people, particularly those with mental illness. It's a real focus this year for Social Justice Sunday. We're also going to be hearing from Bishop Tony Percy. He's been doing a great job for us in the last few weeks, breaking open the letter to the Hebrews. So not focusing on the gospel so much for this Sunday, but on the letter to the Hebrews. We'll also be hearing from Mother Hilda Scott. More about that later. But to kick us off, we've got Father Rob Galea. He's going to be speaking to us about the importance of humility. Noting that's not about putting ourselves down, but about truth, seeing ourselves as God sees us with our weaknesses, for sure, that's a given, but also with our great potential, our great giftings. It's based around this week's Gospel, Luke 14, 1-7 and 7-14. Max Norton's going to read that for us now. Then we'll hear from Father Rob Galea. Some great music from Chris Tomlin and the song Jesus Loves Me. Faith, hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. But a lot to get through. I'm so glad you've joined us this week on The Journey.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On the Sabbath day, Jesus had gone for a meal to the house of one of the leading Pharisees, and they watched him closely. He then told the guests a parable because he had noticed how they had picked the places of honour. He said this, "When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take your seat in the place of honour. A more distinguished person than you may have been invited, and the person who invited you both may come and say, 'Give up your place to this man.' And then, to your embarrassment, you would have to go and take the lowest place. No. When you're a guest, make your way to the lowest place and sit there, so that when your host comes, he may say, 'My friend, move up higher.' In that way, everyone with you at table will see you honoured. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the man who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he said to his host, "When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not ask your friends, brothers, relations, or rich neighbours, for fear they repay your courtesy by inviting you in return. No, when you have a party, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. That they cannot pay you back means that you are fortunate, because repayment will be made to you when the virtuous rise again." The Gospel of the Lord. And now the Gospel Reflection with Father Rob Galea.
Humility is a very complicated thing, but such a simple thing also. I've heard it say that humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Bit cliche, I know, but what does it mean in actual fact? When I think of humility, I think of the way God looks at me, the way God looks at you. And He looks at you and He loves you. He looks at you and He believes in you. He looks at you and He wants to raise you up. Now, very often, we don't see ourselves as God sees us. We see ourselves sometimes in a place where we think that God wants to push us down, to press us down. But humility is like when you look at your child and you're proud of them and you want them to rise up and you want them to have a voice and you want them to be confident. This is what God wants of you. He wants you to be confident. Humility is seeing yourself as God sees you. And how does God see you? God sees you as a lioness, as a lion, as someone who is called, created to do great things, to see the world through His perspective, like a little lion standing next to a big lion. And this little lion sees a little frog and he roars at this little frog, and the frog stays there, doesn't move. But then all of a sudden, out of the shadows comes the mama lion, the lioness. And the frog, even with the shadow of the lioness, runs away. The little cub didn't even notice that mama lion is standing behind her. But the frog went away, and the little lion thought it was because of their work, because of their confidence. But we know better. God stands behind us. God stands before us. And the things that we see in our lives, yes, we thank God for, but we give God the glory. We give God the glory for everything that we have received and everything that God does through us. But at the same time, don't sell yourself short. Know that God will do great things to you and through you. But keep trusting in Him and keep telling Him, God, I give you the glory. Whenever someone praises me for something, what do? I don't say, no, I'm not good enough. No, I say, thank you, I received that. But in my heart, I say, Jesus, I give glory to you. Humility is seeing yourself no less, no more than what God sees you. And He loves you, He's proud of you, and He has created you for great things.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
My heart was a stone, I was covered.
You're listening to The Journey, music, interviews, and wisdom for living life to the full.
Now, wisdom from the Abbey with Mother Hilda.
There's a beautiful story I heard from the Jewish tradition. It's a story of a king whose son, really, did everything he possibly could to disinherit himself. He took off, and I guess a little bit like the parable of the prodigal son. And maybe that's where Jesus got the story from, I don't know. But anyway, to continue. So this king's son went off, and his father, of course, missed him terribly. And he sent word to the son, telling him to come home. It'd be all right, come home. And the son was so ashamed, he sent back a message to say, I can't. So the king sent another message, tell him to come home. It's all right, just come home. But again, the son was still too ashamed to face his father, and he sent back the message, I can't. Then the king sent a third lot of messengers, and this time he said, tell him to come as far as he can, and I'll meet him. I think that's such a beautiful image of how God is with you and with me. We let ourselves down sometimes, don't we? We do things we wish we hadn't done. How many times have you and I hoped that there'd be a new start for us around the corner, but we've been too ashamed to lift our heads up even to look at ourselves? And yet, you and I are tied up with that wonderful God who'll come and get us. All we've got to do is lift our heart and say, I'm sorry. Or lift our heart and say, Father, I want to come home. Or we don't even have to say anything. We just have to lift up our hearts and look at him. And the message is the same. I'll be right there to pick you up. Oh, and what a wonderful new start that is. We haven't had to do a thing except lift our hearts to him.
Thanks so much to Mother Hilda Scott there. Beautiful piece that she called Tell Him to Come Home. We love that. We get this awesome stuff from Mother Hilda Scott each and every week. Wisdom from the Abbey, much loved segment. Don't forget you can go and visit them at the Abbey there on the South Coast. And you can check out what Mother Hilda Scott has said, not only again this week, but any of the weeks that she's contributed to this show or any of our amazing contributors, including the man coming up after the break, Bishop Tony Percy. He's been breaking open the letter to the Hebrews for us in the last couple of weeks. He's continuing that today. It's a bit of an extended piece, but really, really worth it. This segment is The Word, and that's coming up after the break. But to kick us off now, here's Jake Naughter, Come Back Home, and also here's some Colton Dixon in there too, My Light. Faith, hope, love and life. Bishop Tony Percy's not too far away, and you're on the journey.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
When I'm out of hope, so lost and afraid, when I'm in the dark and can't seem to find my way, when I'm feeling lonely in the dead of the night, I remember the promise. You will be my light, my light. You will be my light, my light. You will be my light when the sun don't shine, telling me everything's gonna be alright, alright, alright. You will be my light, yeah, yeah, yeah. I've tried on my own strength, but I just trip and fall. Put my faith in the wrong things, turns out after all, you're the answer for every problem. You're the grace when I hit the bottom, the lamp onto my feet. Oh Lord, let it shine. Shine, oh. You will be my light,
my light,
my light. You will be the sun don't shine, telling me everything's gonna be alright, alright, alright. You will be my light, yeah, yeah, yeah. You will be my light, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're the way when my feet can't find it. You're the truth when my head is lying. You're the life when my heart is dying. You will be my light, yeah, yeah, yeah. My feet can't find it. You're the truth when my head is lying. You're the life when my heart is dying.
You will be
And now, with his weekly reflection, here's Bishop Tony Percy.
22nd Sunday of the year, year C. The Gospel is from Luke, and it matches up very beautifully with our first reading, which comes from the wisdom literature. This is an interesting piece of wisdom literature. It was translated from the Hebrew language into the Greek language for those Jews living in Alexandria in Egypt who had learnt the Greek language, and it was probably their predominant language, in fact, and so that's what they did. They translated it as an act of hospitality. We're going to move, though, to the second reading, which is from the letter to the Hebrews, and we've been talking about the magnificent nature of the letter to the Hebrews as a particular letter that was written because we think there was a preacher who went around to the Christian communities sort of driving home the idea that the Old Testament had many priests, but now with Christ there's just one priest, and Christ offers his life on the cross. He offers his whole life and then his death and then resurrection to the Father, and he offers it for us. So to the Father and for us. And we ourselves being baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, his life, death and resurrection, we are called to do the same as Christians, to offer our life to the Father and for other people. And in fact, that is a very good description, offering ourselves to the Father and for others and after the example of Christ. That's a very good description of the Eucharist, the Christian Eucharist that we celebrate on a Sunday and a daily. Some of you may be daily Mass goers and going to the Eucharist on a daily basis. Now we come to chapter 12 of Hebrews, and Mary Healy, who wrote a marvellous commentary, said there are three images here about our Christian life. Not so much about our Christian faith. Faith was the subject, if you remember, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, with its intimate connection with hope, and then giving us a whole lot of examples from the Old Testament, which then culminate, reaching a crescendo in Christ, who is the origin and the end of our faith. That's chapter 11. It transitions into chapter 12. In chapter 12, we get these three beautiful images. So firstly, she says, our life is an endurance race in which we are striving towards the finish line, cheered on by those who've gone before us. most important. We saw that. Then we saw last week that our life is growth towards maturity through the discipline of a loving Father, that God our Father, because of His love for us, will correct us and discipline us and educate us, train us and form us. And that's part of life. And that's what parents do with their children. That's what God does with us, most important. God can say to us yes, and God can say to us no, as parents should say that to their children. The third image is what we're with this week. Very interesting insight that she has in picking up these images, I think. The third image is our life is a joyous or joyful liturgical assembly on a holy mountain amidst angels and saints. So that our Christian life is just like the celebration, in fact, of the Eucharist, surrounded as we are in the Eucharist by the angels, by all of the saints, by the entire spiritual tradition of the church teaches, and then, of course, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, surrounded by all the saints, all those martyrs that we have, that our life, the third image of our Christian life, it is a joyful assembly, a joyful liturgical assembly on a holy mountain, in keeping company with a lot of the angels and saints. That's a wonderful reality. So we do know, of course, from the book of Genesis that God had intended our life to be delightful. In fact, that's the word Adam and Eve are created in the Garden of Eden, and that word itself means a pleasure or delight. And so, yes, we have been granted many, many beautiful joys, sensual joys, and also spiritual joys, the sensual joys of eating and drinking. And then one can think about our human sexuality. And of course, the fact that we actually become indulgent in these things and these sensual joys doesn't discount the fact that God has given them to us to be enjoyed. And that's the most important point. So the joy of eating and drinking with loved ones, the joy that a married couple have in their intimate life, their intimate acts of sexuality are something that's been given, God given to us, and we should never discount them. But of course, one of the great saints, a guy called Saint Thomas Aquinas, said, yes, well, the sensual joys are real, but the spiritual joys that God has given us, they go way beyond just the sensual joys. So if you think of the joys of our senses, our five senses, there's so much joy that's part of that, part of life, just the great joy of witnessing a beautiful and hearing a beautiful piece of music, or seeing with our eyes a wonderful landscape, a painting, or just a wonderful vista in a beautiful part of the world, etc., etc. We can carry on with it. They're real and very, very important, the sensual joys, but the spiritual joys are going to far exceed it. And that's what the reading says. It says it profoundly, you have come to God Himself, the Supreme Judge, and been placed with spirits of the saints who have been made perfect, and to Jesus, the Mediator, who brings a new covenant. Yes, so our life, our Christian life, as Mary Healy says, is like a joyful liturgical assembly, surrounded as we are not only by sensual joys, but also spiritual joys. So then we think of the beauty of human memory. We think of the beauty of being able to be free and be able to choose things, the joy of being able to think things through and to achieve things in life. All of these things are most important. But then we bring them all to the liturgical assembly, and then they're enhanced by the company of angels and saints, and in fact the Godhead Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's so much joy there, so much sensual joy in our life, so much spiritual joy, and God, of course, is the author of all of it.
Thanks so much to Bishop Tony Percy there. Love his stuff. Great focus this week on the heavenly Jerusalem. Now we're gathering with the citizens of heaven. We're surrounded by that cloud of witnesses, communion of saints. What a consolation and what an encouragement that is. Thank you to him. After the break, we've got the first in two parts that we're listening to today from Father Greg Jacobs. He's from St. Ignatius Parish in Brisbane, and he's giving us an overview of this year's theme for Social Justice Sunday, Signs of Hope on the Edge, Serving Homeless People with Mental Ill Health. That's after the break, but not before we hear from Casting Crowns, Life of Praise. Faith, Hope, Love and Life. My name's Jude Hennessy. Social Justice Sunday, and you're on the journey.
Love and life. This is The Journey.
Now, with his reflection for this year's Social Justice Sunday, here's Father Greg Jacobs. In this segment, Father Greg will give an overview of this year's theme, Signs of Hope on the Edge, serving homeless people with mental ill health.
So when they asked me to launch this, it was one of those occasions of who we're going to... And I was the last one standing sort of stuff. Everybody else moved back. Oh, it's me. I lived for the last 10 years in Mount Druitt in Western Sydney, the poorest parish in, you know, certainly in Parramatta, probably in Sydney overall. And so I had a lot of experience with homelessness and mental illness in that area. And so this statement starts to bring to light some of those stories, starts to bring a connection that we each have, or hopefully have, or will have with homelessness and those, you know, on the margins of our society. But it's a document that encourages us not just to know some of this stuff and the issue, but to see and respond to it. It's not just a head experience. The bishops are asking us for a response to this issue in our own ways. So not just to walk by the homeless, but to encounter them. Of course, everything comes back to Ignatian spirituality, so that's about see, judge and act. We're meant to see the people. We're meant to get to know them so that we can work out what their needs are. And then we're meant to act on that new knowledge so that we come to a new vision of how we are in relationship with them. Many Australians find it embarrassing, uncomfortable and or even confronting to see homeless people on the street. But we encourage all who are baptized to instead offer loving friendship to people on the edge of society. We're meant to build a relationship with them. The statement goes on to tell us some real life stories of people on the edge. A third of these had mental health issues. About a quarter were single parents. And about 40,000 of these were young people. And they're just the ones seeking assistance. There are many others who are on the streets and homeless who aren't seeking that assistance from the communities. I could tell stories from Mount Druitt of the family who lived, yes, in a house, but there were no doors or windows on the house because the house had burnt down. But that was the only shelter they could find. Or, of course, many people who are living out of cars or in tents. And, of course, we could add the stories of saints who also experienced or encountered the homeless. People like St. Martin, who found Christ as a poor person, who he halved his cloak and gave it to him only for Christ to reveal himself as that poor person. So these twin crises of housing availability and family and domestic violence, in the research shows that they're the two key issues about homelessness, the cost of housing and violence in their own lives. Many people live close to the edge, where a single change can push them into homelessness or into mental collapse. It could be losing a job or falling ill or becoming a carer or the ending of a relationship, being on a temporary visa or experiencing family and domestic violence. Sometimes it's just one thing that tips those people over the edge. And it may not be even their fault. The car breaks down. And all of a sudden, how are they going to get to work? And they lose their job. And all of a sudden, everything falls apart for them. How easily that can happen. It's not just because they're bad people. Homelessness is not just about an absence of shelter. It can also disrupt health, education, mental well-being, the future opportunities, leaving young people especially vulnerable to lifelong consequences. The growing crisis of homelessness in Australia demands immediate and sustained action. The health, education and economic consequences of homelessness are quite profound. And the longer homeless people are left without support, the more difficult it becomes for them to rebuild their lives. And so there's plenty of research about, what might cause this. Some of these are listed in the statement. So what's needed to help, comes from such organisations like Homelessness Australia. Recruit and retain a larger mental health workforce. Integrate mental health services with housing and homelessness support. Increase funding to ensure no one is turned away by homelessness services. Fund specialised healthcare services for homeless people. Provide tenancy support services for people with mental illness in both social and private housing. Increase access to financial security measures such as disability support pensions. And raise the rate of income support payments such as JobSeeker so that people do not have to make choices between paying rent and other essential services. And when I got to that part of the statement, I thought, I can't do any of those. Not myself. That's for governments, that's for organisations to do. Where does my place fit in all of that? But of course, there is a place for us to do something. As individuals or small communities, we need to find our own ways of engaging with this issue. Because we're Christians, because we're baptised, because we're following Jesus, it is our mandate to be on the edges with these people. Jesus called all of us to reach out to those on the edges of society, to offer them loving care. And we cannot leave it just to the professionals. All of the baptised are called into this mission.
Okay, more from Father Greg Jacobs about Social Justice Sunday coming up after the break, but time for a bit more music now. Here's Andrew Rip and the song Fill My Cup, and not too far away, the second part in his explanation of Social Justice Sunday, we'll hear from Father Greg Jacobs. Faith. Hope, love and life. My name's Jude Hennessy. It's a jam-packed show this week, that's for sure. But so glad you've joined us on the journey.
Been walking to a city I cannot depths of the valley where the sun can't reach. I've been high, I've been low, I've been looking for the river that could fill my soul. Been walking to a city I cannot see.
Together on the journey, faith, hope, and love for life in all its fullness.
Now, Father Greg Jacobs continues his reflection on this year's social justice statement, Signs of Hope on the Edge, serving homeless people with mental ill health.
Jesus called all of us to reach out to those on the edges of society, to offer them loving care. All of the baptized are called into this mission. The people on the edges have much to teach us, Pope Francis says. We are called to find Christ in them, to lend our voice to their cause, but also to be their friends, a preferential option for the poor. This comes with three foundations that might help. The first is noticing. It has been said that a person is enlightened not when they get an idea, but when someone notices them. A person is enlightened when another loves them. Love notices. And that's one of the sad things often about homelessness, is when people don't notice, when they walk on by. Sometimes that's, for today, that's sometimes all a homeless person needs, a person on the street, just to be recognised. You don't always have to give something to them. You don't always have to empty your wallet. Sometimes that's really good too. But I don't know if you've spent a lot of time on the streets, but sometimes it's just about, you know, somebody recognised me today. Somebody said hello rather than walk on by. The eyes of the gospel notice and penetrate and transform. Sometimes just penetrating and transforming me sometimes. The second pillar is knowing. We are good at knowing about and writing about people overwhelmed by poverty and mental illness. We are not good at knowing them, at knowing their names. parish priest in Wagga Wagga, where I grew up, had a wonderful gift for it. He would remember names and family trees, and it was a great pastoral gift. I've got many gifts, but that's not one of them. But I do remember faces. I remember faces of people from the streets, and I can go back and have a good conversation with them, even if I don't remember what their name was. I know who they are. We had a saying in Mount Druitt that we do not want people coming to the parish or that community as in poverty tourism, not just to come look at the poor and go back and maybe say, what a wonderful life I live. I'm glad I'm not like those people. You are welcome to come and have an encounter with them and hopefully have your life transformed by them, because they spoke a very clear truth sometimes, sometimes a bit too clear, their truth. But when people are not noticed, it also can result in what the document talks about as relational poverty. It defines this as an entrenched isolation in which there is minimal and at oftentimes no meaningful human contact. I said that just walking by them on the streets. And again, Pope Francis helps to teach us something of that. How can it be that it is not news and a news item when an elderly homeless person dies of exposure, but it is news when the stock market loses 2 points? And what does that say about our society? Where does our interest lie? That is where we as individuals and small groups can have the most impact. In the midst of this harsh world, there is still a glimmer of hope. We see this best in times of great difficulty. In the height of the COVID pandemic, for instance, people looked after each other. Communities made sure that isolated people still got groceries, medicines, and household items. The police had to go around at times and check on all of that. And the police were saying, this is not what we sign up for. But then the community, particularly Mount Druitt, took that over for them. We'll go and knock on their doors and make sure they're okay and give them what we need. The worst of times can bring out the best in people, of course. But we should not just see this in extraordinary circumstances. This is also the Christian story. We have our peak moments of Christmas and Easter where we recognise and celebrate Christ's presence. But there's also the ordinary time that we live in at the moment, when we also need to recognise Christ quietly and persistently speaking to us through the strangers on the edge of our society. The third of the pillars is service. Prayer and comfortable living are incompatible, says Teresa of Avila. We could add that a comfortable church cannot preach the joy of the gospel with authenticity. Following Jesus means being with those who are poor, lonely, and rejected. Again, Pope Francis tells us, I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security. And of course, it's because Jesus lived with the poor and did it humbly. His commitment to those on the edge of society established a prime example for Christian leadership, to serve from a place of humility and vulnerability, a place too, to many of us have been loath to visit. We need to come to recognise those who are homeless and suffer mental ill health as the centre of our church and guests of honour at our banquet. They deserve much more than the crumbs from our table or our spare coins. Serving them means offering to accompany them in their journey towards a healthy life, physically, mentally, socially, economically, and spiritually. And so we can be and are called to be the pilgrims of hope, especially in this year of the Jubilee. We are encouraged as baptized to find ways to engage with people living with homelessness, wherever they are located. Mother Teresa once said, stay where you are. Find your own Calcutta. Find the sick, the suffering, and the lonely right where you are, in your own homes and in your own families, in your workplaces and in your schools. Only then, once you've finished dealing with all of that, then you can come to the rest of Australia, then come overseas and work with her in India. But above all, the bishops ask us, we encourage you to notice homeless people in your community, to take every chance you can to listen to their story and understand what their life is like and what they hope for, and to truly serve them with love and humility. You may find it difficult to volunteer at a local service or in a street van, but you may be able to stop and listen to people on the street who approach you. Keep an eye out for them when you pass through the same location. You may be able to strike up a relationship with them, which is enriched by a regular cuppa and a conversation.
Song.
Now I've got a hope and future. This is what freedom's like. I'm running to a new tomorrow, and I'm leaving yesterday behind.
Great song to finish up this week, Apollo and Redemption Song. Really appreciative to Father Greg Jacobs. He's a Jesuit from up in Brisbane. He's also worked, well, he's worked all over the place, including Mount Druitt in Sydney. Really enjoyed and really grateful for his explanation about the theme for this year's Social Justice Sunday. Thank you to him. Thank you to Bishop Tony Percy, Mother Hilda Scott, and right at the top of the show, Father Rob Galea, who broke open the gospel from this week and spoke to us really powerfully about humility. Thanks for listening in. Thanks to Max Norton, who's put this show together. He had his work cut out for him this week with some great content, but a bit of editing to do to fit it into the timing of this week's show. We hope you've enjoyed listening in. Don't forget, you can go to jcr.org.au. Big cheerio to all the radio stations around the country that let us join with them in their ministry of bringing faith, hope, love and life to the airways and to make Jesus known and loved. It's a great privilege from our perspective, and we ask you to support them in whatever way you can in your local region. Support your local Christian radio station. We will be doing it all again next week, and I hope you can join us then on The Journey.
The Journey is presented by Jude Hennessy and produced by Max Norden on Darawal Country in the office of the Bishop for the Catholic Diocese of Wollongong.